Everyone have a chance to look over the minutes?
Yeah.
We have a motion to approve the minutes from February 5th?
I'll move it.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Jay, do you have another comment?
All right. I have to sign this in a minute. Okay. First resolution is resolution number 96, New York State Senate Bill S-728, Emergency First Responder Privacy and Protection Act. So, this is a memorializing resolution.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay. And discussion? Heidi, do you want to give us any background since you're listed?
I can give you a little background. I'm not actually, just got to, pardon me with my techie issues. I believe this has to do with discovery and bail reform.
No, that's the next one.
Pardon me.
This is the first responders, their privacy protection.
This is about discovery, I'll be honest, where
there's a provision of
law that allows the secrecy of law enforcement officers through the discovery process.
But it doesn't include EMS.
This is first responders.
Yes.
Okay.
Does anybody have any questions about it?
Any other discussion?
Okay.
No, that's fine.
I'll move it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. The next, we have resolution number 97, which is also asking the New York State Legislature to reevaluate bail and discovery reform measures. Motion to discuss.
I'll make that motion.
Second?
I'll second it. Discuss it.
Okay. Any discussion on this one? Yes.
If I might. I really don't believe in these memorializing resolutions, but I'm going to try to behave myself for a little while. A letter went around that I did think was very good about looking into it again. I think Legislative Mayo circulated it. I signed it. I was asked to by some folks. I've read information in the press and other media from people on both sides, some having concerns, or many having some concerns. I know there's no double negatives, but a double yes doesn't quite, am I supposed to vote yes, yes, which is generally speaking, do you really mean it? Since I don't like memorializing resolutions, which one is more important? My signature on a letter?
Or
being glommed in with all the rest of the folks who may or may not like the idea. Now, I was thinking about this, though. I could easily support something like this if, since it's come to the legislature, that we have 8 members of the government, the legislature in Albany represents sections of Ulster County. 4 senators and 4 assembly people. I'd like to see them come down and explain to this committee their feeling on it. Invite them.
We did that.
And if they would come down, maybe some may say, I supported the legislation. That's it. Some may say, I didn't support it. There may be some that did that are having some second thoughts. And I don't think there's any big rush for this. I just think that the chair lady could invite the 8 members of the legislature to officially come down and say what they think is right or what they think is wrong.
Okay.
I mean, me personally, and I'll stop. Personally, I grew up thinking that bail was only to assure that you would show up. Mm-hmm. And some things have seemed to be expanded, and not to bore you with it, but people come in and see me all the time where I work and yapping at me, and I have the same discussion. I'd like to suggest that.
Okay.
I don't really want to make a motion to
What I'm going to ask, and Jonathan, I'll get to you in 1 second, but maybe you can explain why with the letter there was the desire to also have this resolution, given that the letter had gone around before.
I can't speak to that. I actually don't know why.
Okay.
I can't speak to that. But I can speak to your desire to invite the state legislative members. We did invite, I think, back in the fall, I believe it was Metzger, Amador, and I don't know if it went out to any assembly members, asking them what their opinions were of the bail reform, didn't we?
I think it was the whole package, yeah.
Yeah. I do believe we did that back in September. And this is actually part of the, and this was passed through the budget last year also.
Okay. Jonathan?
Yeah, I'm going to respectfully be a no. I was able to be more easily able to be a yes on the previous resolution, number 96, because I was able to review the specific legislation they were referring to. I'm not saying I'm against any, you know, change. I mean, I think any policymaker, whether you're one of us or in the Assembly or the State Senate, if you, it would be foolish never to say no to an amendment to any law. You should always look at laws and ways to improve them and so on. So I'm not saying I'm against amendments. Obviously, you guys have heard my feelings on the need for these justice reforms. However, because of, you know, I believe you can't just say the reinstatement of judicial discretion. It's a very broad thing just to say you support. I personally believe any type of judicial discretion would need serious guidelines to even consider, and without those and so on. And then you get into the idea of introducing, you know, dangerousness to New York State law, which is something that hadn't been previously accepted in New York State. So for me, the broadness of it just doesn't give me comfort at this time. You know, respect the fact that it does address the issue of cash bail. I respect that from the sponsors and so on. And I respect the fact that they're just not shouting repeal, repeal, repeal.
Yeah.
But because of, you know, my other concerns, I'll be a no.
Conversely, I respect the fact that it doesn't say repeal, but it does call for a reevaluation of dangerousness. New York State does not allow for that in the form of this this bill. So I actually will be a yes on this. I think that it's worth our state legislative members to take another look at bail reform. It's been a couple of months. The governor said himself that it was worthy of taking another look at it at this point. And so I will be a yes.
I also just wanted to add, too, to my first comment that there has been state legislators on both the Democratic and Republican side that have already introduced amendments, including, I believe, two from our own county. So I just wanted to, you know, point that out there as well, that there are actual specific pieces of legislation out there.
I think essentially saying that they want them to vote in favor.
But I mean, but it's different.
Well,
I mean, like I said, you can't just say, you just can't introduce judicial discretion. It's broad of and stuff like that. You know, specifics matter.
My only concern, first of all, I have to agree with Mr. Parody. I'm not a memorializing resolution fan. I had voted against it, for it when it was time to get rid of it. I think this bail reform law, I think, goes a bit to an extreme. There might be some parts of it that I favor, but I definitely think it should be reevaluated. I guess my biggest fear is, or what I think about the most is that the vast majority of law enforcement across the state, I don't care if they're Republican chiefs, Republican sheriffs, Democrat sheriffs, the majority of them, and it is a majority, have a very major concern about this bail reform. And I don't feel that those people should have their hands tied with that kind of reform. I mean, do I feel they should get rid of the whole thing? No, but we can't lose the sight in this county and across the state. We got to remember one thing. As law enforcement and judges and district attorneys, their main concern should be the victim, not the criminal. And sometimes I fear that we're getting a little bit away from that. Like, I kind of see it on the horizon, and that bothers me. So I will be a yes on this resolution.
All right. Yes, John?
I like to be consistent. I'm not so sure that the bail reform legislation that was passed is incorrect. I have a lot of friends of mine that wear uniforms, all sorts of uniforms, and I have interesting discussions with them. But since this came to the legislature, it was just the letter. But I do think any memorializing resolutions that then, from now on, to some degree, should be debated with experts or whatever we're memorializing. So for that reason, in this one, I would vote yes, because I'd love to hear some of our state representatives come down and say, here's why it was a good idea. It's justice for all, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'd love to hear some of them come in and say, I may have made a mistake when I voted for this part and this part and this part. So.
Okay. I will just add, I don't want to repeat too many things. I will respectfully be a no as well, for many of the similar reasons that Jonathan had said. I do feel like the decisions to make this bail reform were extremely well thought out. I think that there were some unexpected challenges that arose. I don't believe that the judicial discretion will solve those problems. I think we do need to solve issues around discovery. Things that just couldn't have been recognized that were going to happen occurred, and I do think there needs to be some smart solutions, but this was about the ability to pay and removing that, and I'm strongly supportive of it. I do also agree that I think it's vague in terms of what it's asking for the change, and so just to say change it, and not only do I feel it's vague, but I also don't agree that the judicial discretion part of it. So I will just respectfully be a no, but I have nothing more to add to that. So can a motion,
I'll move it.
All in favor, I mean?
I'll move.
I think it's been
moved.
Yeah,
oh,
so all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay.
So it's carried. 3-2.
Good conversation.
Yes.
Next, we have resolution number 120, Capital Project 567, Navigation Response Vessel. Motion to discuss.
I make the motion.
Second.
Second.
Okay. Discuss. So I know that there were some questions from members of this committee as well as, I don't know, Manav, you have something that you wanted to add. At this point, since you can't raise your hand. Are you there, Manav? Okay.
I am. I would like to hear the discussion.
Okay.
That's why I called in, to hear the discussion, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak. My basic concern is I don't have enough information on how this came about. My understanding was that there was information back in January that we didn't get.
Is she? Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry, Manav, we're talking about the response vessel, the navigation response vessel for the sheriff.
That's so right.
Oh, I did not have a concern.
Okay.
About that.
Great. Other
That's
people?
That's what I thought, and I was confused. When you called on me,
it's fine.
I thought I misheard you.
No problem.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I only have a few questions that I'd like to address to the sheriff. How the boat that we have now, Sheriff, how many years has that been in service? Do you know?
So we have two boats. One is owned by Parks and Recreation. The
okay.
one that's owned by the county is over 21 years old.
And that's the one we will be
that's
getting rid of.
That's looking to replace.
And so that's got probably issues. And
yes, it's got. So it's M27. Okay. It's a 1998 Patriot Marine welded aluminum vessel. The vessel has been patched up several times over the years. It presently has, every year we have to service the four-stroke engines at $1,500 a piece. They don't make these engines anymore.
Right.
And so we're going to need two new engines if we continue with that. And those new engines, of course, between $60,000 and $70,000.
Thank you. That's enough to bond for me. I mean, that's enough for me. I kind of figured 21 years old. And thank you.
So an issue that had come up was just sort of clarification about the Parks and Rec and their percentage. And maybe you just can give a little history. How did they become involved? I guess I didn't realize that the other boat was actually owned by them already, so
right,
that's obviously
right.
Part of the involvement. But
so we're part of a task force with them, and we cover close to 17 nautical miles on the Hudson River. Greene County doesn't have an active boat. I know they're working on getting one. But this grant, we submitted and got approved by this last legislature, and the expenditures that we're looking at here for the boat is that the county will be responsible for 50% of that $58,488. The total amount will be $116,897, but 50% will be paid for by the state reimbursement program, which I emailed a copy to Legislator Heidi Haynes. And I also sent an email to Jay Mahler this afternoon to talk about how this actually occurs. So what happens is we submit, we have to show and prove that we spent money, and then the state will reimburse us a 50% of the county's cost. Two of the things that we did recently was a truck that we utilized for our in water rescue team, the state picked up $33,913, and that was the email I sent to showing you. We put an invoice in to the state, they give us a receipt number, and then our finance department goes in and puts in for the claim, and then the state reimburses us 50% of that claim. And we did it several times. We just recently got last year, $1,900 to replace the shed that was falling apart at Zone 5, which is on the Roundout Creek. The importance of this boat is that we have soft targets on the Hudson River, like our tour boats. There's all kinds of traffic that goes on up and down the Hudson River. We're also responsible for the leisure boats in our community, to include the Roundout Creek. We do ice water rescues on the Hudson River in the winter. We're also, when folks decide that they don't want to live anymore, they want to jump off of the 8 bridges that we're responsible for. We're also responsible for the fuel barges that come up and down the Hudson River in our area, as well as cruise ships in case there's any emergencies. We also do navigation enforcement. And we also are involved with part of the United States Coast Guard response team in regards to any fuel spills, to include that large Heritage Costco location on the Hudson River that's on in Ulster County. So those are the reasons why it's important to have a boat that works. The boat that we have is really old. We've been patching it up for years. And this new boat is just going to be if we were to replace the two engines, like I said, it was $60,000-$70,000. Our expense for a new boat is just going to be $58,000 after the reimburse of the state. To me, it's a win-win situation for the county and the taxpayers.
Is there a contract with Parks and Rec? And then also, and you know, this is my ignorance because this is relatively new for me. Would there need to be a separate resolution, since it would be over $50,000, for that part of it, or is it fine that it's all in here in one? Because this is like two different sources of data of money, both over $50,000 in the same resolution. And I'm just curious on whether that's usually how it. Is that okay, or is there? So I guess the first question is there a contract with Parks and Recreation that they said they're going to give this 50%?
There is. But go ahead.
This is only for establishing the capital project, for the county establishing the capital project. I believe there is either authorization. I think the authorization for the grants was in a resolution last fall.
Yeah, we did that.
So this one, the reason why it's okay with no?
No, we did it, but did it mention anything about the Parks and Recs component?
The sheriff may need to come with another resolution. That would have to be a separate resolution, but the funding, just putting the funding doesn't mean that this resolution could happen. I'm not sure if the Parks and Rec grant came through here or not.
I wouldn't necessarily call it grant. It's a reimbursement that the state gives us for being part of their task force.
Yeah, but it's an over $50,000 funding source.
So I'm assuming we'll probably have to do another resolution.
If it hasn't been through the first time. Yeah.
Even if it was $10, because it's an intermunicipal agreement, it would have to come here.
Oh, okay.
So the one we did last year was...
What is it? Okay,
That's the Homeland Security grant. That's the 25% we did last year.
Okay, and that was the only one you found?
Yeah.
So then, yes.
But can we still pass this resolution
in
committee tonight?
Yeah, this
tonight?
Is just to set the whole thing, but in terms of getting that money, essentially,
so
we would have to pass it.
Moving forward.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Any other questions or comments? All right. All in favor of resolution 120?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
When you're going to buy a helicopter?
So I'm going to put resolution number 122 and 125 all together. They are authorizing the chair of the legislator to enter an agreement with the Office of Indigent Legal Services. Motion to discuss.
I'll make that motion.
I'll make a motion to block.
Oh, sorry, motion to block.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion to discuss.
Moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? I have some questions. Yes. So,
make sure she knows you're talking about.
Yes.
Manna, we're on those resolutions now. Just so you know, we blocked them all.
I did hear that. Thank you.
So, can I just ask you, do you know if the items that have been put in this have all been approved by OILS already, or are you waiting to know whether OILS is okay with these?
We had a meeting where representatives came down.
Yeah, I was at that.
Correct. And so we've been working with them as well as with the county exec, Chris Kelly, and trying to comply with what basically they told us they needed. So they haven't officially approved this, but it's my belief from discussions with talking to Mr. Kelly and also with Indigent Legal Services, that these will be approved by them.
Essentially, we are working on the claims that would be following up these contracts. The claims would be sent to IOS for them to actually make payment on the grants that date back to 2014. These are the mechanisms to allow the
transfer
of money.
Right, I understand. And at that meeting, there were some things that were obviously going to be approved, but some things that you'd have to support. And then, did your office take the lead in pulling together this, or did the executive's office?
We've taken the lead.
Okay. So, I guess...
No, I'm kidding.
I mean, the reason why I ask is because I will say that personally, and for the record, I feel like, you know, the reason why we're behind on these was because the executive's office didn't follow through in sharing in the responsibility with these in the first place last year, the year before that. And, you know, it's not like you're sweeping in and saving the day. I really think that this should have happened. This should have happened from the get-go. This should have happened years ago in that the executive office is sharing in this process. But I also don't want the pendulum to swing all the way to the other side where your office is doing it and the public defender's office is has no idea or is sort of on the outskirts. That this should be a partnership between the executive's office and the public defender's office. It should have been a partnership. It should still be a partnership, and that I just want to make sure that what's going on, you know, finance and what you're doing in the executive's office is really continues to be a partnership with the public defender's office, because that's how it should have been in the first place.
I'll agree that the public defender's office should have been putting these through in the first place.
No, I said that it should have been a partnership with the executive's office in the first place.
Yeah,
that you should have been working together.
I'm not going to speak to the earlier executive's office. I will speak to the fact that each department has an administrative task to administer these contracts.
Manna, can you put your phone on mute?
Manna. Manna, you all right?
I think she's walking.
She is.
Through snow. I don't know where she's finding this snow.
You know, if I could say something, obviously I'm new at the helm, the interim helm, but anyway, I became aware of these, you know, issues, and the county execs, they have the resources. The best partnerships are the partnership that you just described, and they've been great. I mean, they're not coming up with what we need. They're basically trying to, well, number one, recoup some of the money that we didn't get through 4, 6, 7, and 8, et cetera. So they've been really helpful in with our team putting it together. So
good,
I mean,
I'm glad they are.
And extremely helpful, and they have the expertise that perhaps our office doesn't have. So it's been a good process so far, and I think that, you know, we're looking at, and we haven't crunched the hard numbers, but, you know, we're looking at approximately $1 million, you know, that we could get back from.
Right.
You know, that's just a guesstimate on my part. I'm not an expert at this, but.
We're still going back through all the.
And I assume you have a system in place so that you recognize that there was a deficit in this partnership, and that going forward there will be, you'll be working with the public defender's office going forward to ensure that, that they get the assistance they need.
We work with all our departments to make sure that they get the assistance.
Starting now.
Needed to.
Okay.
Do their jobs, yes.
Well, starting now.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So, I'm trying to get clarity, you know, to understand the documents that are before us. And as I read them as they were described to us in the leadership meeting, these are plans that are going to then require a certain amount of backup. Also in that leadership meeting, there was a discussion about new personnel, because I asked the question, when you talk about the attachment Cs for each of these, it references a task of salary and benefits for full-time attorneys or part-time attorneys or et cetera, depending on which one you're looking at. Mm-hmm. And it speaks to additional personnel. You know, when I look at the number of personnel over the course of the years, it's radically different than what was represented in that meeting. There is not new personnel between 14 and 15 and 15 and 16 mm-hmm. and 16 and 17. So what I'm wondering is, as I support this plan, where's the backup to show that we have additional full-time personnel, additional part? Like, where is the evidence that there's someone that was paid $125,000?
These contracts are the mechanisms between the state and the locality to be able to transfer funds under an agreement that was made initially to seek the grant. whether we seek or whether we can recoup $1 or $2 million, you still need these contracts in place in order to have the transfer of fund between the two entities. From these being submitted and approved and going to the state, we can then make the claims against those contracts, against those grant funds. And that's in the, that's the process.
I don't think that answered our question.
Yeah, it doesn't answer my question, because with all due respect, we're not forward-looking. A plan, I think of, is something forward. We're looking at real numbers. You have real numbers. They exist in the system for 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. They're known. I don't have them at my fingertips right now, but they exist. So when you put in a budget attached to something that's backward-looking, why is it being described as a plan? Why isn't it an actual representation of what was spent? Because we should be able to actually say, this, we hired new person X costs this, I understand that the representation is that this wasn't submitted, so we didn't get reimbursed for New Person X, but I'm not seeing where New Person
these
X
aren't
is in the budget.
These aren't what you submit for the reimbursement. The claims are what you submit for the reimbursement. These
but
are
I'm
the contracts that enable...
You're, but you have written up a budget, for example, in the first one, for January 1, 2000, distribution number 4, January 1, 2014, through December 31, 2016. I'm having trouble understanding why every number is in here isn't exactly, specifically accurate based on fact, because we know what we did between 14 and 16. We're not reinventing the wheel. The allegation is that paperwork wasn't submitted to get money back on hires that were made. So why can I not see the new hires in when I look back in the budget?
And
why
again,
can I not
this
see
is
new people?
Even if this is preliminary approval, like if it was going forward, it would be preliminary approval.
Yeah.
If we're talking about 2021, mm-hmm. and then you would put in for the new hires.
But
we're certainly not going
to
get this and then go back in a time machine and hire people.
True. That is not the plan at all. But these were approved in prior budgets that you did approve in past years, these funds.
No. What was approved in prior budgets were expected revenues, not with specific lines as to... And we saw a revenue mm-hmm. line. We, in the legislature, don't normally get a backup to every revenue line with the detail on every revenue line. And again, we can have a conversation about what went on in the past. Right now, here we are in 2020, looking at documents that represent 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, all of which have real numbers somewhere. And, I mean, my first question is that these numbers don't appear real because I can't see the additional personnel that these numbers are representing. I could be very wrong. I do not see the additional personnel, and I don't understand why we're speaking forward looking as like a plan when we're looking back. It should be accurate. What I'm looking for is where's the backup that says exactly what we did.
I'm kind of at a loss what you mean.
But at the meeting, very clearly, they said, look, if you hired new people, that's reimbursable. If you moved a space so that you could support new people, that's reimbursable.
Correct.
So they explained that if you did these things, they can be reimbursed. When I read that, and I appreciate you bringing it up, I just assumed, so they did hire new people, and now that they're getting the reimbursement. But what she is saying, if I understand correctly, is that's not true. There aren't those people. Okay, so I guess she's asking where is the information about who the people who were hired that are paid for, that the reimbursement is now being sought? Who are they?
That comes through with the claims that we
No, but who are they now? Like, do you have that information now? Because they obviously existed already.
We are currently going back several years. We've explained this. We're going back several years.
But you put a number, so it must have been a person and a salary that got you that number. Where did the number come from?
What numbers are you...
In any of the ones that were
selling. All of these documents have numbers attached. They have, some say full-time, some say part-time, some say...
Okay.
Michael Cohn is one.
Well, okay, instead of listing it, I think the point is we need the documentation.
Yeah, in our chair meeting, we also had this conversation that what we have here is the plan as it was seen back in those days.
Back then,
this is the plan of which you then file claims. But this plan was built with some assumptions, or who built the plan? I mean, I see the prior public defender's name on this. So is this even appropriate since that person, I'm not sure where that person is, right?
These were built out with budget department. That's what the budget department in the past had assisted with these documents. They had been delayed and delayed by the previous public defender.
Right, so which means they were built with some assumptions of being able to hire. So you're putting in a plan where we don't have headcount that matches this plan. So how do you build back?
I don't agree that we don't have headcount that matches this plan.
Okay, can you give us the list of people who match the headcount that's represented in each of these plans?
I'd have to go. What I could give you is budget position listings. I'd have to ask the public
defender
to give.
I want names, though. You can give me budgets, and you'll give me a job number. I know that. But we need to foot this because I can't, when I go back and look and do some, I had our financial team do some analysis, I cannot foot to what is represented in these.
And I think an important message is the message that went out to the public was that these expenditures were made and we never got reimbursement. And it's not quite clear that that's true. If it is true, then...
It's quite clear that it's true.
Some of this is rent. Some of this is things that
rent,
clearly
yeah.
There's equipment, there's rent, there's personnel services that will be reimbursed.
That's the message to the public that was not reimbursed.
But you came up with a number of $2.4 million, and so that's not quite clear.
No, the application of $2.4 million.
The message was that this was not I get that there might have been these small things that weren't, but I think we really need to have a much clearer sense, because I was at that meeting, and the very conversation, no number was known yet. It was that we need to look into it and see what we can ask for. And so I don't know how the claim was made in the first place, but I think that it's really necessary that we see how this really matches to see if these expenditures really were made that you're seeking that reimbursement. Sorry, Heidi, go ahead.
No, it's okay. Just to what Lynn spoke to, Lynn, you mentioned that you don't want to know positions, but you'd like to know names. Are you asking for employee names?
Right now, today, we get a job number and a title. I'm saying that every one of our budgets have a job title or job number and a title. I'm saying, who's in that job?
You mean their actual name?
Well, who's the person in that job?
Their name.
Yeah, we don't have
that. Why is that relevant?
Well, when were they hired? It's relevant to know when they were hired, because then that is a date you can foot to this plan. But if you don't know when they're hired.
But we need these to determine all of those going
forward. But I think that money just creates the position, no?
No, but it's fact-tracked, yes, if we're going forward. And these grants are still continuous, so going forward, that's a logical thing for you to say, that you actually put it forward, you say, this is what we think we're going to do, we're going to hire these people, we're going to do these things. Then you do the hiring, then you ask for reimbursal.
Why is it not the same for
Because
fact?
It goes back to 2015.
But
so
we
it's
have 14. The information.
It's been,
I mean,
been 14.
Going back, the information exists.
They're allowing us.
How many people we there's information in the system that says how many people were working in the public defender's office.
Yeah, we have.
In what capacity in 15.
Yeah.
And then the same information exists for 16, and you can look at 15 against 16. And to the point of names, which, if you look at the job, the position numbers, you could pull up a position number, and over the course of time, that position number, a person leaves that position number, and a different person's put in that position number. And in fact, in the public defender's office, there are times where I'm not going to name a name, but there's one person in a certain position who exits that position number, say, in 18, and enters a different position number in a different year. So it's like,
because they went through, they may have been in a town court, they were paid at a certain rate, and then they had another position number, which would allow for a different rate of pay because they ended up in the county court,
and some of that's even allowable according to OILS. Yeah.
Yes.
But OILS, you know, they're being very nice. They're being very nice and saying we can retroactively, if we spent this stuff, then we can get reimbursal. They're not saying these grants are not to go forward. Go forward. There's new ones to go forward. They're saying, if you spent this money, ask for the reimbursement. And they're very kind, because there are six other counties that are in the same position where they just had trouble making sure that they caught up and got the reimbursements for the money they spent. So basically, this is supposed to say, hey, we spent all this money. Can you please give it to us back? And
I understand.
And that's why being very specific. But we have to know it follows all of the requirements. It has to be a new hire.
That will be OILS that determines that. We're working with them to figure that out.
But I think that's what the question is being asked. The OILS doesn't determine if it's a new hire. If it's a new hire, it's a new hire. I mean,
no, OILS determines whether it actually applies to the grant funding under their guidelines and regulations.
A new hire is still a new hire.
Yeah, well, it's improve if it's a hire to improve the workload by reducing it by the number of public defenders you have, then it is something that you could put in and apply to this.
Right.
If it is someone that you're taking from part-time to full-time because you're, again, reducing caseload, because it's all about improving the quality of the work.
Correct.
So you can. I was at the meeting, so I get how it's working. And what I'm saying is, we've got this here. These were developed by whom? by the finance department in conjunction with
several staff member at the public defender's office.
Okay.
And Andy himself.
Okay. And this was at the time, or is it retro?
These are four years in the past. So these were not at the time. These were done in 18, 17, somewhere, and in 19, and in 20. I mean, these are all.
And so all I'm saying is that these were built, but when we ran our analysis, there's no evidence that you've increased.
What are you running your analysis in?
Well, that's my point.
That's what I don't. What system are you in that you're running?
New World. Yep.
Is not where we have staff though.
Well, New World and Muni. So I'm not going to. All I'm saying is, and this is what we talked about before, and you're saying you're still building the claims. So you're still building the claims that'll follow through with these claims.
But are you saying this is the same language that was written several years ago and you're just putting in the same language without any adaptation for what really happened?
No. They were built after the case in order to reflect what happened during that time.
So I think that's what
but
we
assume. But they're still considered work plans because that's what we have to...
But it reflects what really happened.
But
and
it
that's
what
I think
really happened.
We just need documentation that shows that that's the case.
And that's what we're asking for. We're asking for the documentation that shows us that this did happen during that time frame.
Manifold.
The information I have, and, you know, again, I'm new at this, but we had a full-time attorney from 2014 until just recently, into 2020, and he was hired and is part of 4, 6, 7, and 8. We also had one legal aid. She recently left her job, I think in the last 2 weeks, for family court in Dutchess, and then we had one full-time attorney in family court also for the conflict defenders program that started on or about 2016. So those are I have their names. I know who they are. So I don't know if that helps or hurts, but I just...
Well, I mean, is that how you're building your claims? And do you have an analysis of these individuals?
And I'm not the grand expert
right, or
anything, but the way I understand it, a large portion that we're trying to reclaim is rent,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, in the hundreds of thousands.
Which is legitimate. You actually moved the location to be closer to court. And that is
it's
a
better
legitimate.
For the, better for the
and
clients,
it's the variance
it's better for
between
the
your old rent and your new rent. Right.
Et cetera. And then that portion, and then the two full-time position and the part-time position I just talked about, that really comprises the bulk of what we're trying to get back. And then as John had indicated, we had some salary increases, but expert services, equipment overhauls, things of that nature. That's like a very small portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that the largest, again, portion are the hires that I just talked about from, and it's staggered, but 2014 on. And
so
then,
it's about
and then
three,
the
two and a half or three, depending on full-time,
yes,
part-time.
That's right.
Right. Okay. And so when you submit the plans... Then you'll have to put in a resolution for the claims, or do you just submit the claims
the
and then
claims get submitted directly to ILS? The claims
they get directly submitted and
correct. We do the search. We're working with ILS. We're still
right
constantly talking to them a couple times a week. We create the claims. The claims, I believe, then go through. We actually create the claims. Controller clears them or processes them as well. They get sent up to Albany. Albany then, ILS, says, yes, this complies with the nature of the grant from 2014, or distribution 4, distribution 6, distribution 7, and it's approved or not approved or partially approved.
But I assume the claim, the specifics of the claim are being drafted now anyway, so that you can get the money as quickly as possible. I mean, it must be happening at the same time that you've come up with these numbers and your work doing the paperwork to put in the actual claim.
These numbers were done in part years ago. The claims we're doing now, we're going through
all
the
total number. You just said that you adapted it for what really happened, not what was written years ago. You've adapted the language, and you've adapted what you've requested.
Yeah, well, for 17.
So I would assume at the same time. Can I just ask also, in the council and arraignment, or Council Upon Appearance, it has many different names. That grant also was supposed to include overtime for public defenders to do nighttime arraignments.
Correct.
Did that ever happen?
Oh, yeah. We have four quadrants. In fact, I just took one.
So are you adding that in, the overtime? Because that was definitely a part of the original.
That would be with these grants. That's a separate grant.
That would be, yes.
I mean, I think
that's CAFA, right?
We rolled
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that's CAFA.
What did we roll out the four quadrants of CAFA the last quarter of 2019, I believe?
But are we going to see those?
Yeah, at the most.
Then too?
At the earliest, right.
I don't know what eight numbers, so.
But no, it wouldn't. It's a different.
I think eight is part of Harold Herring.
For distribution
yeah.
eight?
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know what seven covers then, if that covers CAFA or not.
No. The CAFA is a competitive grant. These are non-competitive grants.
Right.
These essentially
yes.
are.
But CAFA's changed also.
But that's not.
I understand, one of but are we going to be.
As part of this.
But are we going to see that one as well?
I'm not sure if it's already gone through or. Did that contract go through previously?
I believe that.
Not possible.
We were able to put the Council of First Appearance within Harold Herring. So we will see that with the Harold Herring disbursements, I believe. I got to go back and check.
Actually, the way that works, some of
the four quadrants
right.
that we're using two attorneys in each quadrant, so eight attorneys, and they are paid a stipend to do overtime, and that is paid through Harold Herring. There's a section in Harold Herring that's Council of First Appearance.
There's part of the CAFA grant that we're not going to be able to get, but we can get under Harold Herring.
It's part of the CAFA, say that again?
There was part of the CAFA grant we couldn't get, we wouldn't be able to get, but we can get under Harold Herring. Because
which
I think it expired.
Prior CAFA.
Because it expired.
Prior.
Yeah.
But at the meeting, she said that she was willing to extend the CAFA.
No, there was one.
No, this other one she wasn't going to extend, the
right.
community one, but the CAFA one she said she would extend.
Was it the community one? Or
yeah,
the
other one that's a small one that we never did anything on, they said she said it's a wash, but that the CAFA one you could extend. And that she was going to give us more time.
But anyway, these four distributions do not have anything to do with HH.
All right, so then you should put in one for the
CAFA. I didn't hear what you said. Could you say that again?
As far as my understanding is John stated, these distributions that we're talking about now are they're not competitive. They are not part of HH.
Harold Herring.
Even the last one?
No, the last one
is.
The last one
is.
Are you
they're
sure?
They're not part of CAFA.
Okay.
I thought
this
was
May
I?
Yes, Savannah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say one of the reasons why it's important to put names with positions is that putting a position in the budget doesn't necessarily mean the position's has been filled. And therefore, whether or not it's known now, but whether or not it would go into the plan depends on whether or not the position's been filled. And I have a question about the timing of the information. So you mentioned distributions. My understanding is that the information was ready for the legislature in January and then not put into laws and rules and not put into a process and then is now being brought to our attention, and I want to know what the relationship between the information that was delivered by the then public defender in January and this is to this plan.
That I can't speak of. I wasn't there.
Well, I think is essential information.
If I recall, I think that's for the.
Yeah,
for the next one.
But I'm not sure exactly what was submitted back then.
I think that was the Huell Herring going forward one. If I recall, we can double check, but I think that was not the retroactive.
And it's also one of the things that flagged the entire situation.
That's what I was told too.
Yeah, there were expired contracts in there.
Putting these in and trying to kind of get everything right was one of the things, as well as reviewing the 2020 budget and the first quarter, that brought this to the attention of the budget team, which then brought it to the attention of the executive's office.
despite the comptroller's report
but
a year and a half ago.
But that's the same budget team that was in place over the last multiple years. No.
No. I mean, Bert was the one that was there.
But Chris Kelly is the one who worked through these numbers.
Right. The deputy budget director was the one that, because he also works on resolutions, he was the one that flagged this to the exec's office.
What had you done, since you have the historical memory, when the comptroller's office came out with that report, what was the steps that the executive's office took?
I mean, so that report came out, we were already trying to work with Andy on, and that report came out on COPPA and I think another smaller grant. It had nothing to do with the overall disbursements, but, I mean, these were issues that, again, you know, Jamie had worked on, one of the prior deputy budget directors, and Ken Juris had been trying to get, like, hand everything over to Andy and just get him to submit, and it just was not, these required signature from the public defender, and it was not happening. Trying to get these in order, and there was not a lot of administrative willingness. Seemed like it was below the individual at the time.
Tracy?
I don't know that I'm going to get clarity on this tonight either, but another thing I'm trying to understand as I look through all these proposals, plans, whether they're backward, whether they're actually what was drafted all those years ago, or they're more current, or whatever, is that as it was represented, it sounded as if, and correct me if I'm wrong, a new hire, it was a non-competitive grant, and a new hire would have been reimbursed and continued to be reimbursed over the course
of the
following years. And yet these proposals, if I look, for example, at distribution number 4, you have $125,900 for a full-time position for 15 only, not for 16, which I don't understand, because if you hired someone new in 15, why wouldn't it carry to 16, 17, 18, and so on? And then you have a part-time employee for $65,942 for 16 only, not for 17. Then in 6, you have a single full-time for 17, but not for 18 or 19, and a part-time for 18 only. So there's no consistency. If it's true that a new hire would continue to be funded, we should be seeing the real numbers of a new hire and their increase in salary as reflected in the budget. If they're hired in 15, they should be in the 16 line, in the 17 line, in the 18 line, in the 19 line, correct?
Yeah, and these are and each of these are 3-year
grants. That is not what's represented in this packet. Across.
As long as there wasn't any staff reductions through that period of time to where that is no longer offsetting.
I don't think staff reductions would matter. If you hired someone new, and you're allowed to keep paying for them.
Yeah. Well, the whole point was reducing caseload. Remember, the whole point was
reducing caseload.
Right, but I don't know if they have a way of checking the reduction. I mean, they're basically saying, if you say we brought someone new in, you're allowed to keep as long as it's after 2014, you're allowed to keep asking for money.
That's not even remotely.
Right, no, that's a different point, yeah.
I understand distribution number 8 as distinct because it is relatively forward-looking and it does, and so it's like I'm looking at 4, 6, and 7 and trying to make sense, and I'm having a really hard time grasping why they don't include all real numbers because real things happen that we have access to information.
The final real numbers will be in the claims that are actually reviewed and processed and sent out to ILS.
Right, but they have to have been generated to get these numbers.
Where's the real information? Because this is at the crux of the conflicting information in that we attended a meeting where we're told there were essentially 15 new hires between 14 and 18. Mm-hmm. I don't see that evidenced in the budget.
I didn't say there were 15 new hires.
I said in the budget.
Even looked in the budget in 14 and 18, and I didn't see 15 new hires. So what I'm saying is I'm failing. And also, I personally have some historical knowledge having conversations advocating for new hires and being told that the then administration's policy was no new hires. I understand that could have come with a serious disconnect in understanding what this grant meant, the fact that I can't imagine anyone turning down non-competitive grant funding that would have been maintained over the course of years. I can only chalk that up to a lack of understanding that extended beyond the public defender's office, because my understanding at the time was it was the administration's position that there would be no new hires in that department. And as someone who is advocating for new hires and who's now looking back at budgets, and I don't see them reflected, and to hear that there were 15 new hires that I can't find them in the budget.
Well, just, I mean, Tracy, for example, Michael Cohen was a new hire. So he was brought in. His salary alone, cumulatively, through this, is going to be way into the six figures, probably $600,000-$700,000 for the years that we're talking about. There's also going to be, and for the distributions we're looking at here, which I think
Michael Cohen was hired in 11.
I think we should mention names in this meeting.
Yeah, probably.
Or for, okay. Where that line was hired.
Might have been hired part time in 11.
I'm sorry?
Might have been hired part time in 11.
I just would love if someone could, and it doesn't have to happen, it's clearly not going to happen at this meeting, but someone could walk me through the veracity of what has been alleged through the press in terms of new hires, that's what
and
I'm signing on to.
And what
in this
money
resolution.
Was left
I'm
on
signing
the table.
On to yeah. a plan, but it's almost like I'm being asked to say, okay, this is just a plan, but it's passed already. So we don't need a plan. We can just put in what we did. We can just put in actually what we did. And then go on from there. And I'm just confused because nothing here reflects what I'm even hearing in terms of continued funding.
The problem there is we still don't know until we actually file the claims against the plan, the contractual plan, whether ILS will ultimately say yay or
nay to any
individual claim.
But you know what the costs, the expenses are that you hope that they will do, and I think that's what's being asked for. But so I'm going to just ask for due to time. So for this committee, we have an option. We can either hold on this until we have more information, or it has to go to Ways and Means, so we could just vote on it just as a concept of that we do support this as an element, but that recognizing that Ways and Means will can be used at that time to really break down and get this detail. So I'm leaving it up to you. We can either choose to table this, or we could start. Lynn, do you want to add?
I go back to the chair meeting we had, and if we're going to be doing this going forward, we need to, when we asked for more information, we asked about this specifically. What are the actual numbers? We asked for that at the chair meeting and said we need to get a sense
again,
of the actual numbers
which are
we
in
don't
the claims
we're not going
to
have it. I'm not sure
large.
We're going to have it. Are we going to have it for Ways and Means?
The claims?
Yeah,
no, we're going to be going through the summer trying to get them.
Okay, so
to get them approved through
what?
ILS, but
okay,
nothing can be looked at by ILS unless they have a contract to look at them.
But I feel like there's a distinction again.
This is
when you talk about to. Approval from ILS, that's not, I'm not asking, and I don't think anybody's asking to see the approval from ILS. We're asking what are the actual claims that are going to ILS that back up all that's been left on the table. That's what's like, I get rent, you notice I haven't asked about rent, because rent's very clear to me. It's like, I see it, rent, okay, $22,000 a year, it increases, it starts in 14, it goes. I don't have a question about rent. I have a question about why people are listed in single years, where they exist in the budget. That's what I'm trying to grasp, okay. Because what has been stated, depending on where you hear it, is that many new people were hired and there was a failure to claim for them. I'm asking for where are the many new people that were hired. That's just all I'm asking to understand.
Who made the claim that many new people were hired?
Okay, this is a circular argument.
No.
So I'm just going to let Dean.
Yeah, my thing is, right now we're beating a dead horse. It doesn't seem like we're getting anywhere. So my suggestion is, if we have legislators that still have a bunch of questions here, then maybe we should table it, so give it a month to get these questions answered. Because this has been going on already for a month throughout the legislature. And to me, I'm no more clear on it. To me, it's a total confusion.
So you're making a motion to table it?
I'm making a motion to table it until these legislators in the county
postpone
it, whatever you want to do, so we can move on, so we're not here to midnight.
I have no problem with that, so long as it's not going to further put any of the funding in jeopardy.
I don't think it will. I mean, Mark says he's not. He's unsure.
Oh, I just don't know.
I would, at the meeting with them, they recognize they want to help. They are that they didn't give a deadline.
Can I ask Lynn? Lynn, as chair of Ways and Means, do you feel comfortable with postponing it now, or would you rather it come in front of Ways and Means?
Unless they can answer the questions we've already asked, which is the inconsistency in headcount through the years in the progressive plans, and show us the detail of who you're referring to when you say you've hired these people, because
that's something they can do. Right, but Lynn, are you willing to hold it on Ways and Means if we move on it and you hold it on Ways and Means, or Heidi's asking, would you prefer we postpone it at this level?
Well,
before it even comes to you.
Would you all like to have the answer?
Yes, but we recognize it'll also go to Ways and Means.
I think there's been many questions raised. It's on the tape. We should get written questions and responses before we deal with it.
Postpone. So I hear two people want
to
postpone it.
Listen to the tapes and get all the questions.
Jonathan?
With all due respect, we're going to ask for written questions. If there's questions, I'm happy to provide them if it's to the Ways and Means Committee, but...
Well, I have three people who say they want to postpone it.
No, I get that, but as far as, so then... I
think it'll be the same questions, the same... We're not going to separately present those. I think we'll just coordinate what we're looking for, and we'll all look at it together.
Yeah,
but I do not think...
We did go through a leadership meeting, and we didn't get these specific questions.
I can give an answer on why I said that we added positions, and it was just misspeaking, but as I'm now looking through... I was comparing benefited positions to full-time positions.
Okay, so I think it's the best thing is that all of this is documented. And so we'll make sure that the questions are clear. We'll pass it around this committee also so that if anyone wants to add any questions, and we'll approach it. And I do feel very comfortable to say that this will not jeopardize the money. I feel very comfortable saying that.
Has ILS committed that?
Well, we were all sitting together. They want to work with us. They said they have six other counties that are still struggling to get this right. They want to work with us. I was at the table with them. Lynn was at the table with them. You were all at the table with them. They did not. They want us to move as quickly as possible. They said that their biggest concern is if you're asking to completely shift something, shift a whole line item, which would require them to go to the comptroller, that would be a problem and a delay no matter what, whether you passed it today or passed it next week. So they said, ideally, you're not shifting line items in that way, so we don't have to go to the comptroller. Should that be the case, this should be no problem. We should be able to pass it as soon as we have all the information. As it is, you can't get the money until you have documented and itemized everything. They would probably be happy to see the new contract with that itemization with the bill. I mean, they can come in hand as far as they're concerned, and you haven't gotten the bill yet together. So, you know, what we're asking for is essentially what you're going to be giving them as a bill anyway. So we're not delaying the process to oils.
I'll just reiterate, any questions should be in writing, and the answers in writing, so we're not having this back and forth argument. If they don't agree with each other, then either we can resolve it or put it off.
All right.
I need a second.
Oh, a second to postpone?
I'll postpone.
All in favor?
I'm going to be no, only because I still have the concern about it being a jam up with the oils.
Okay. All right, so that moves. The last one we have is resolution number 130, authorizing the chair to execute an agreement with the Walker Valley Chemical Engine number 1. A motion to discuss.
Make that motion.
Second.
Which one is it?
Second.
Any discussion on this one? No? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So we have several people who signed up for the jail tour. Assuming if this is the number that of people, then we're safe that it doesn't. I'll pass this around if you want to look. So we're going to do a jail tour next month. We may combine it with this meeting, depending on and move it to Thursday so it doesn't interfere with the following meeting. But we're kind of waiting. If it's okay with you,
you're on there.
The decision to separate, to have the meeting at the same time, not same time, but adjacent to the tour on a Thursday will depend on how many resolutions. So I was going to look at how big that stack was and see whether we needed to have a Wednesday meeting and the tour, or whether we can put them all together. So we'll definitely do the tour on Thursday, April 9th. But whether our meeting is going to be the Wednesday or the Thursday, we're going to just wait. Is that okay? Do you understand that point?
So what date are you looking at the tour?
The tour will be April 9th.
I'll write it down.
Yeah, I got it.
If more people want, we can also have another tour.
I'm going to go because I don't want to leave my folks behind. I've been on a couple tours.
we'll work on the Restorative Justice Center tour in the future. Any new business? Okay, motion to adjourn.
Wait,
oh,
just,
sorry. Go
just
ahead.
One thing. Resolution 97 that we discussed before, the bail thing.
Mm-hmm.
I did make a motion to amend the resolution to invite the people, but I would hope that the chair would try to figure some way to let them know we'd love to hear from
right,
them.
Right, it wasn't an official amending. You were just sort of... I
we were having
it
a discussion.
Side note.
I didn't officially do it, so you could say no.
Okay.
I get that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So but you're not asking to amend that. You're
I
asking
get it.
Just that. Okay. That invitation is extended. Okay.
Strongly encouraged.
I hear you, and I will extend it for what it's worth. Thank you.
Thank
for
you.
Clarifying. Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.